Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! All right, we begin this 30th day of December, 2015. It's a minute past the hour, and I'm looking in the chat room, and I see where Jug of Punch says, "Hi, Bob and Sparky, Rick has the stream." Is that the case? Is anything getting through? Oh, dear me. Gonna wait and see and just listen to the drum loop for a minute. Sorry, Little Gray, I know it drives you crazy, but, you know, we'll just have to deal with it. Okay, thank you, Sparky, thank you. And stand by, please, while I try to remedy the situation. Okay, so maybe Rick doesn't have the stream anymore. Sparky says, good now. I take that to mean that we are live and streaming. Okay, yes, we're on. Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob. I do appreciate the information. I sincerely do. This is how I know that we're actually, you know, on the air. And thank you, Carol Baker. You're on. You are on. Thank you, Mrs. Wiley. How do you do, Mrs. Wiley? Andy, she called me a creature. Right. It is. This here is, in fact, the as noted in the chat room, the last horn broadcast of 2015. Because, well, Agnes and I and Ferg are taking the night off tomorrow and heading over for a New Year's celebration with our good friends over at Secret Sandwich Society. Apparently a nice spread's going to be laid out, and they're an excellent band with a horn section. Ha! Yeah, right, yeah, uh-huh. Ah, thank you very kindly, Haley, for letting me know we're reaching. And then on Friday evening, we'll be live, but not from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rather, we will be live from 9 to midnight Eastern Time, guest hosting for the one, the only, the inimitable, the accept no substitutes, Mike Malloy. Uh-huh. So you'll be able to get that on the regular horn stream as well as the Malloy stream. I've been talking with Ben Birch, and we're going to make sure there are no streaming issues this time through. I mentioned the chat room. If you'd like to be in the chat room, we have a Madcap Multimedia Extravaganza that happens there every evening during the hours of the program. Just go to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be right there. Good evening, Trey, and good evening, Jug of Punch, and Jeremy, and of course, capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky. Yes. This is, of course, a listener-supported broadcast. I heard reference today, I forget which blithering, blathering fool of a right-winger it was who was complaining about George Soros, brooga, George Soros. And still nothing here from George. one of your longer lasting progressive broadcasts in the nation, and never so much as a miserable little nickel from George Soros. Yeah. So that means it's up to us. And we are we're engaged in fundraising every night, every day. I don't send out mass emails saying, Jesus Christ, we've got to raise $70,000 by the end of the... No, none of that. And unlike Daily Coast, I don't need another $1 million to close out 2015 and keep the horn afloat. No. We run this on a day-to-day basis because we're all just working folks. And that's how it works. Ope. Out. Blue. Ope. God, next thing you know, I'll be saying it's February. I think maybe I'm blissing on the pimento cheese grits I had for dinner or something. Who knows? We go day to day, and the holiday week is, but Will, okay, so thank you very kindly, right off the bat, thank you very kindly to Janie in Texas, and thank you very kindly to Dave for his subscription support. We would have been trying to raise, and thank you to Bill, thank you very kindly, Bill. We would have been trying to raise $460 this evening, but instead we are only trying to raise $225. Yes. And that's very, very, very big difference. Here's how that plays out. We need to raise $225. I can proudly tell you that we have a kind matching offer on the table from Robert in Australia. Robert says it's the last day of 2015 here in Australia already, and somehow I've managed to end my year with my finances in a slightly better state than I expected. Not great, but better than expected. Better is always better. Wow, that's profound, Bob. Why aren't you a philosopher? So, to end the year, I propose a challenge. $100 Australian, which means you'll get about $70, depending on the exchange rate. Here's my end of 2015 challenge for Horn listeners. Even though the Horn only gets $70 U.S., I've given up $100 Australian in spending power. I'd like my $100 Australian in spending power matched with $100 in U.S. spending power. Let's all give the Horn a clean start in 2016 by chipping in. So thank you. Your 100 US will be matched by 100 Australian going forward this evening, and hopefully we will finish not in a giant gaping hole, because as it stands with tomorrow and Thursday, we're going to be in a hole, and that's all there is to it. But it could be worse. If we do this evening, we'll be okay for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we'll just write off Thursday and Friday as, well, not Friday, but Thursday. We'll just write off Thursday as, you know, me playing hooky or something, which I am. Robert also adds, P.S., listening to yesterday's program via podcast, considering my country was founded as a dumping ground for all the worst criminals in the U.K., I seriously doubt anyone here would claim that we were founded on Christian values. Oh, you just wait. The disease hasn't fully metastasized yet, Robert. Just you wait. I don't know. Go over and ask him over at Hillsong, maybe. Yeah. Huh? And, of course, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and we will we'll fire up the revolting minister here in just a matter of moments. But I wanted to share some a really, really interesting piece of correspondence, courtesy of Steve in China. I suspect we're never going to get a phone call from Steve in China for reasons that are probably obvious, even like, you know, a Skype call. So in lieu of that, I get some really thought-provoking correspondence. And here is that. Subject line, how reasonable. I had to say something, Steve begins. about yesterday's segment, especially as regards the first responder question that emerged in context. Francis Fauquier, maybe, yeah, Fauquier, I think, not Fauquier, because that would be French. Francis Fauquier, royal governor of the Virginia colony, and a typical, if historical, exemplary instance of Enlightenment ideas of the time, proposed the establishment of a hospital specifically charged with the care and treatment of the mentally ill in a speech given before the first meeting of the House of Burgesses following adoption of the Virginia Resolves. Of course, what Fauquier was principally discussing before the House was the relationship between the colonists and England, and his optimism concerning continued strong ties between the two. The colonists had, after all, made a point of declaring the Virginia General Assembly the only body legally permitted to raise taxes. How interesting that the good governor should see fit to remind and encourage these legislators to make provision for those unfortunate enough as to be deprived of their reason, and therewith to do what every civilized country must be expected so to do. Given that a civilized country is in the best position to act upon its greater virtue, most especially given that an enlightened society is obliged to make good on its promise to increase the general enlightenment, one imagines, how very reasonable, after all. Enough, perhaps, to make Descartes himself, resurrected and staunch Catholic, blush. And isn't this also a very Christian thing to be doing today, at least in terms of whatever sort of gentle persuading of patrician magnanimity the truly enlightened are capable of mustering, even when they are steadfastly committed to the idea of science rather than the ideals of religion? Most definitely because the ideas are yielding real results and the ideals only continued misery, brutish neglect. As those 18th century patricians, the old governor well knew. God being God, of course, but church, well, church being just another place where the miserable and a bit of misery's earnings congregate. So, Williamsburg, 1773. Eastern State Hospital. Still open, still providing, still enlightened. Well, on a continually shrinking budget, no doubt. And remember, by way of comparison, this was going on at a time when the equivalent in London, the Bethlehem Royal Hospital, Bedlam, was parading the seriously disturbed about like so many circus freaks, collecting pennies and putting on a jolly good show for the ladies and gentlemen, since, you know, they were kind of like the only show in town for such lurid entertainment, and since TV was still some scores of years down the pike. Gosh, just think, it was possible once to be a little upstart kick-a-shit colony and to practice what you preached. It was a new world of enlightenment and possibility, a place where there was even more money put aside for humanitarian concerns, for compassion and justice, than was wasted on shelf after shelf of Christmas shit, and improved killer drones, and lunatic police death squads, or dead children in the schoolyards, or armed religious fanatics at the Burger King, or assassins at the movie theater, the laundromat, the church. Yikes! I think I'm back at the Bedlam part again. And boy, ain't the new show a motherfucker. Seriously, though, there is a directly proportional relationship between a person's willingness to acknowledge the existence of treatable and mental illness and income in general. And particularly in American culture, the same propensity to categorize mental illness as a public concern rather than a family's darkest secret tracks absolutely with an individual's education, more years in the classroom being better than less, at least in more enlightened times. Since, prior to Eastern State, the crazy folk in Williamsburg, who happened to be poor and destitute, were usually thrown into the local jail, while the upper classes hid them away in the spare attic where a bed and a chamber pot were, and are always kept on reserve anyway. In any event, one or the other option is always better than being shot down in the street, or perhaps left to freeze to death on a heating grate at Christmas time, as is the more common practice now in the United States. And there's the rub. Because the education, along with the purse, lately has become a matter of secret whim and dirty pleasure. Whoa. Hear that again. Because the education, along with the purse, lately has become a matter of secret whim and dirty pleasure, and not the common aspiration, the birthright happiness of a free and prosperous people. You see how very deep in the real shit we are, and how afflicted the sick are with our utter affliction, how unreasoning we are, and how terrifically gone insane with our bad faith. This, writes Steve in China, is terrorism incarnate. Of late, he continues, I have a dark, unsettling thought. The rest of the world sees us, the rotting American empire, and knows that something must be done. They stand in awe. They are dumbfounded. They shed occasional tears for what has been, in some sense, the brighter or dimmer light of a grand and noble project. But in the event of my midnight musings, I know that the vision, the fruit of the long labor, is vanished or left to spoil. The new labor perhaps to be taken up by others with truer, finer results. We must be done. They wait, since the toppling over is always such a slow and agonizing affair. Disclosure. I was a short-term guest at this venerable facility several years ago. There are some interesting types there, but the food's not so good, and the plastic windows, plastic decor kind of environment can get a little claustrophobic. But they do take the cigarette addicts out for smokes on a regular basis. Staff is dedicated, overworked, and compassionate. We know how to do it. But we don't give a flying fuck anymore. How's that for true enlightenment? Or epiphany? Regards, Steve in China. Yeah. That line, that the world sees us rotting and knows that something has to be done, and yet we'll do nothing. Because it's not just a matter of we're the biggest, baddest, meanest, bestest, worstest bully ever to walk the block on this globe. You ever tried walking a block on a globe? It ain't easy. It's not just that. We happen to be armed with a vast array of weapons capable of rendering this planet uninhabitable by the human species. Oh, sure. And this is me talking, not Steve. Sure, climate change may well do the job for us. But. Those nuclear weapons sure do get the job done quick. And so nobody's in any hurry to show us, shall we say, the error of our ways. No. In point of fact, the United States can go on doing to its citizens and its non-citizens, God help them, anything they bloody well like, and the rest of the world will merely sit by and sort of tut-tut at us. Our guns, our gun fetish, our accidental discharges, our intentional discharges, our movie theater slaughters, our school slaughters, our grocery store slaughters, our slaughter, and our bullshit for-profit healthcare system. They'll stand by and look at that too. And they'll look at the fact that we spend half of the budget of the wealthiest country on earth on military crap, while our roads revert to the gravel state, and our bridges cease to bridge and tumble into various and sundry arroyos and abysses and culverts and rivers and lakes. Yes. So we will, and you know what? I don't care how many times that damned orange fool yells it. There ain't no right winger on this in this country gonna make America great again. Nope. Sorry. So thank you for the profound food for thought, Steve, in China. I do love the correspondence. And thank you to Glenn for getting us started toward meeting that challenge. There's only 9 folks at $10 a piece to go, 9 at 10, 1 at 90, 2 at 45. And that will meet a de minimis amount going forward. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. It is, in fact, oh, wait, let me check here. Thank you, Ron, in the, well, now, apparently we are finally frozen here on the next to last day of 2015. 5x5 up here in the knee-deep snow, says Ron, in the frozen north, which it really should be this time soon. This probably should have been well before, but happy we are to see the planet behaving somewhat normally. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Ron. It is, in fact, Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and we have Prayer Meeting Wednesday stuff to do. Because we had ourselves a lovely fellowship dinner this evening. We absolutely did. The little old blue-haired ladies in the kitchen outdid themselves. Being as how New Year's Day will fall on Friday, they anticipated the holiday, and we had corned beef and cabbage. Yes, we did, and it was magnificent. And one of the little old blue-haired ladies even tucked a silver 50-cent piece in it, and damned if one of the deacons didn't get all the luck for the year. Isn't it always the way? But there, in addition to the corned beef and cabbage, the cabbage being green, signifying money, being lucky. We also had Hoppin' John, which and the little old blue-haired ladies again outdid themselves. Black-eyed peas cooked in a rich, rich broth, alongside some wild rice and regular rice and onions and celery and some chopped up hog jowl. You know why you eat hog jowl on New Year's Day, don't you? Yeah, because the hog jowl, the hog belly where the bacon comes from is down low to the ground, but the hog jowl is up on his little old hog noggin, and that means you're eating high off the hog to begin the new year. Mm-hmm. And it was good. Oh, mercy sakes, it was some kind of good. And then there's a mandarin orange cream cake to get everything started, dessert-wise. Being as how it's winter, you want to go with the citrus and the summery kind of frill, and mandarin oranges and pineapple in it, and that lovely, lovely, lovely sour cream icing. And I tell you what, you want to see something disappear. You don't need to go to Vegas for no magic act. No. All you got to do is see that orange pineapple cream cake just gone. Almost as though the deacons were able to consume it with their very eyes. But As quick as it was there, it was gone, and so were they, up the stairs, out into the parking lot, where they stood there praying with the sinner, praying, smoking. Well, they like to say they're praying, but a smoking with the sinners. But you can't let them get away with that for too awful long. No, and that's why we have to get out the cattle prod and the pepper spray and run them back in out of the parking lot. They don't want the sinners rubbing off on them. And Lord knows some of the deacons, you know, they would like to be rubbed, you may rest assured. But no, we got them in, we run them through the vestibule, down past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, down front where they're standing here within easy reach of a flit gun. And they're holding on to them big old brass plates with the velvet in the bottom that surrounds that little button that says PayPal. And so we're gonna call, brother and sister, and we're gonna call the minister of music forward, and we're gonna pass the plate. And hopefully by the time the plate gets done going round the congregation, we will have met Brother Robert and Australia's challenge. Yes, indeed. 9 at 10, 18 at 5, 1 at 90, 2 at 45, 4 at 22:50, 8 at 11 and a quarter. You see how the magic of mathematics operates. So, brethren and sistren, with every head bowed and every eye closed, except the one you need to keep open so as not to whack your neighbor in the head with the big old heavy brass collection plate, I will call the minister of music forward. Brother minister of music, if you would minister musically unto us, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes. Because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Oh, welcome, help, glory, brethren and sistren, to prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm calling on you now. I'm calling upon you to get up out of your seats and onto your feet and come on out into the center of the cathedral and just come on down that blood-red aisle and fall. Glory, fall. Praise his holy name. Fall upon your knees and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel, amen, the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you. Amen, hallelujah, glory. Humdelik basnigar. I am Archpope Uber. Archpope. Uber Rabbi. Ultimate Imam. Animated Animist. Antagonized Agnostic. Vicarious Vicar. Maximum Metropolitan. Bob Kincaid. And this here is the Cathedral of Glory Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And we have, oh, we have for you, brethren and sisters. Keep them hands in the air. Keep them hands a-waving in the air. Feel the rays. Feel them blowing. Amen, glory. Oh, we have for you tales of astonishing faith. We have for you prophecy. Amen, prophecy. I mentioned to you at the beginning of the program how everything that the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals don't like, how they say, yes. You know, we talked here, what was it, Monday? We talked here Monday about the big Mall St. Matthew's fracas there in Kentucky Stan. Reports that some 2,000 young folks had been involved in various and sundry mass brawls at the mall. Mall brawls, which is not the same as Marlboro's. Mall brawls. Although in some corners of Appalachistan, it is difficult to tell the difference. Well, it turns out that one, the numbers have been revised significantly downward, brethren and sisters. It weren't no 2,000. No. I had that on good authority from somebody who actually knows the area, told me that earlier today. Secondly, though, however, from over there to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda comes Todd Starnes, who tried to gin up the fear, monger the fear, if you will, by writing a column saying, mobs of unsupervised teenagers terrorize shoppers across the fluted plain. What? Yeah. And said little thugs and thugettes were not arrested. So you can't leave something just laying around out there like that. No, you can't. And so somebody who books people on radio programs in St. Louis, Missouri, where one would think they have things other things to worry about besides maybe, Todd Starnes, you know, like flooding, lots and lots of flooding, epic historic flooding of, say, the Mississippi River and every river that goes into the Mississippi River. But they're on the radio in St. Louis, Missouri. They were worried about little thugs and thugettes. And that's when Tim Jones, guest hosting Allman in the Morning, Greg, I didn't know you were doing the radio gig, asked Todd Starnes, is this being coordinated by someone? Is this all just spontaneous? It seems hard to believe that this is all just happening by itself.
Doesn't it?
That was Todd Starnes.
It smells of something that Saul Alinsky or George Soros might concoct. But again, we have no proof of that.
But when has proof ever been something necessary to any given various and sundry white winger? And I'll just note in passing that Saul Alinsky is dead. It might. Yeah. And then they went on to say that maybe Black Lives Matter started that.
Gee, sure, why not?
Absolutely. Pretty soon they'll blame Black Lives Matter for Quintonio LeGrier's death at the hands of the Chicago PD this past Saturday. We talked about that last night. Because why not? You don't need facts with these clowns. No, hell no. You know, in the last couple of months, we've become right fond, brethren and sistren, of Kevin Swanson and his Generations Radio. Degenerations Radio? I don't know. But he knows what's going to happen, Kevin's, because, you know, Kevin's a prophet. I mean, from God's mouth to his ear. You might recall that Kevin Swanson got real bent out of shape and upset like at How to Train Your Dragon and Harry Potter, because then that song that Elsa sings is the devil's anthem. Wait till he watches the Minions. Ooh, brother. I mean, the Kinks has got music in the Minions and the Beatles and the Stones. Mm-hmm, yeah. That was the best soundtrack since Guardians of the Galaxy. Honest to God, it was. But let's check in with Brother Swanson and just see what sort of bats are flying out of his mouth these days. A hockey puck might be in order. And remember, we're going to find out what a Hillary Clinton presidency will do to Merca. Wait a minute. The greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. Amen. Had to add the amen there. That's been suggested.
Here's a judge in Massachusetts clamped down on a Catholic school. He ruled that they were guilty of discrimination because they rescinded a job offer to a man later discovered to be a homosexual. Evidently, he interviewed for a job as director of food services at Fontbonne Academy, an all-girls Catholic school.
Wait, time out. Later discovered to be a homosexual by officials at a Catholic school. Anybody want to explain to me how that happens? Father, that's a tough job Father Whackbottom has.
2013. Offered the job, he listed his husband as his emergency contact, and the school rescinded the offer. Well, Judge Douglas Wilkins ruled the academy was guilty of discrimination, despite the school arguing that Barrett's lifestyle was inconsistent with its teaching. Now, this, again, a
lifestyle, because that's what it is. It's a lifestyle. I mean, some people collect velvet Elvis and bullfighter paintings, and other people collect Fiesta wear plates and stuff, and some people just do gay things. It's a lifestyle.
Violation of freedom on hundreds of levels. Okay, you go back hundreds and hundreds of years, and you look at the 800-year legacy of freedom in the Western world, and you can read it in my book, Freedom, just released. I encourage you to get a copy for all your kids and grandkids, because this heritage is something we've got to hang on to.
Absolutely.
Over the next 80 years. Got to, if you've got the courage and the faith to do it. But this is an attack on freedom on 100 different levels. I mean, you're talking about property rights. These people ought to have the right to hire and fire whoever they will. Property rights, the basic freedom. But then, of course, religious freedom.
But only their property rights. Only the church's property rights. I mean, there's no property rights for, you know, gay folks with their gay lifestyle gayness.
And celebration of homosexuality and preparation for the Greek form of...
At 138 beats per minute, celebration of homosexuality. What's this? Wait. And what? Okay.
Education, which, as you know, involves whatever... celebration of homosexuality and preparation for the Greek form of education, which, as you know, involves whatever was going on in the gymnasium.
Right.
Very, very ugly stuff. Okay, I don't want to get into a lot of the details, but that's the direction. We're going the direction.
What, Edith, huh?
Preparation for the Greek form of education. You mean like the academy? Like Socrates? Oh, no. That's okay, I got it now. Because Socrates got taken down for corrupting the youth and defaming the gods or something. And the next thing, hey, you want a drink? Oh, sure. Oh, everybody, yeah, you're all the time. Socrates, what's truth? Socrates, what's beauty? Nobody's ever, Socrates, hemlock's poison. The Greek style of education. You know, some big burly folks with names like Stavros might take issue with, and Kevin Swanson's a scrawny little fella. I think that little bit of nothing so skinny he has to run around in the shower to get wet. I'm thinking them big, burly Greek men type guys might, because see, what he's getting at is that Greeks can't help it but to be a-humping away on the little boys. And there he was, a-humping on my Billy Bob. Right, yeah.
Of Harry Potter's mentor and Hiccup's mentor in How to Train Your Dragon. That's the direction we're headed. And you know, obvious. It's incredibly obvious.
And I thought the Greek style of education began with maybe Euclid's geometry or something, but I don't think Kevin and I have the same understanding of what Greek education. No. Kev, you might want to cancel that Pornhub subscription. You're getting some really goofy ideas, pal.
These guys aren't trying to hide anything, ladies and gentlemen. Not trying to hide a thing. They're idealizing the Greek form of education. This is the direction we're heading. And this is what this judge is doing, Judge Douglas Wilkins, by inviting homosexuals into Christian schools now.
Y'all come on in now. Yeah, bring your disco music. And by the way, I got a story about another judge here later. Please don't let me forget.
It's going to be the churches here fairly soon.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think freedom's got much of a chance in the near future. That's why all we can do right now is write books and train our children if we still have the opportunity to give them a biblical world and life view, keep them out of the public schools so they won't be polytheists and socialists.
Yeah, because then polytheists and socialists, can you be both of those at the same time? I'm just wondering. And no, we got to educate our children, and so that's why... for instance, out in Overland Park, Kansas, which is not too terribly far from Kansas City, that's why Rodney Sexton got hired on at Deaf Liberty Baptist Church in Overland Park, because we got to train up the children in the right way, and well, when it comes to training children. Apparently, Rodney Sexton is a past master of sorts. Yeah. The police had to come and take Rodney Sexton away the other day because, he got accused of, knowing in that Old Testament sense of the word, knowing an individual who is 31 years old, who is deaf and functions like an 8-year-old. Yeah. Rodney Sexton is also hearing impaired. And that's how he came to be working at Deaf Liberty Baptist Church. It's also how he came to be working at another school for the deaf back in the 1980s, where he was charged and imprisoned for 6 sex-related charges in the 1980, 2 counts of sodomy and aggravated indecent liberties with a child. Yeah, went to prison in the state of Kansas for a while, but that was before 1994, so nobody ever put Rodney Sexton on the sex offender list. Yeah, the registry. The mother of the 31-year-old man, who's deaf and functions like an 8-year-old, said that her son trusted Rodney Sexton. She said, "This shouldn't happen to anybody sitting in a church or at a school. This needs to be stopped. My boy deserves to be protected." He does, ma'am, he does. And if you really want to protect your 31-year-old son, the best way to do that is to keep him away from anybody, even vaguely associated with Christianity or religion in general, because the religion industry is nothing but a great big game of hide-and-go-seek with pedophiles and predators of all forms. But we got it. But, you know, Kevin Swanson's guy, we got to make sure that the children don't turn into polytheists and socialists, because they're much better off when they're just simple sexual abuse victims in the name of glory. Praise his holy name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jeremy in Vermont noting, "I enjoyed all the Harry Potter movies and never once thought of anything about gay suggestions while watching. What a freak." Speaking of a socialist, I saw a socialist snowplow pass by my apartment this morning. When will this oppression end? Yeah, I know. So we got to keep them from being polytheists and socialists. Okay. Back to you, Kev.
Which is exactly what the public schools will tell you they will train your kids to be. If you can keep them out of those schools, and for at least a generation we can pull off a very...
He said pull off.
Very slim minority of kids who are trained in a biblical way of thinking. If we can get a shot...
You know, a biblical way of thinking where pi equals 3 and the world is flat and the sun revolves around the earth, a slim majority of children trained in a biblical way of thinking, well, then we can keep the stupid going for another generation or 10.
Mm-hmm. At this. Freedom will have a shot, but for the 2016 elections, I'd give Hillary Clinton 80% chance. People are asking me, Republicans, they're very unified. Everybody's coming around one candidate. Everything's just, I mean, it's just going so smooth.
For the Republicans?
Yeah. No. It's not looking good for the Republicans.
They're not unified at all.
I'd give Hillary Clinton an 80% chance of getting elected in 2016. Again, friends, I don't know what God's going to do. God could have mercy on this nation. That's why I'm not saying it's 100% chance for Hillary Clinton. But this is the direction we're headed as a nation. There is zero indication.
Wait. You know what? Maybe I'll agree with him. His imaginary God could have mercy on this nation and allow Bernie Sanders to become president. But defining mercy on this nation as T-Rump or Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American? Yeah, that mercy, mercy.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, me neither.
Of any real repentance going on in this nation. And I've called the nation to repentance in the public forum, and I was severely mocked for it. Of course, everybody knows that.
And, you know, Kev, you know, when you just go out there and you say this stuff, you're kind of walking around with a big mock me sign hanging around your neck because you're a goddamn fool. Mercy on this nation. You know, I'd like to see some mercy on this nation. I'd like to see some mercy in the form of 19-year-old young black men not being gunned down in the dark and still of the night, and 55-year-old grannies not being gunned down with them. That's some of the mercy I'd like to see. Yes. I'd like to see the mercy of people needing medical care being able to get that medical care regardless of who they are or how much they are able to contribute to the profits of the year-end goddamn bonuses of some miscreant insurance industry executive. How about the mercy that would be involved in taking adequate and appropriate care of the people who went and fought George Bush's filthy, 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 lie-infested goddamn wars? How about a little mercy there? We are desperately needing of mercy in this country. But you see, the way you and I define mercy is not the way they define mercy. They define mercy as making sure that a couple of guys can't pick out a China pattern. Whereas our definition of mercy involves substantive issues of how one goes about being a continuing human being from one day unto the next in this land. The mercy of not having to wonder if this is the day one dies just because one simply needs to go and get a jug of milk up to the Wiggling Pig and wonders if this is the day that somebody's going to, oh, I don't know, maybe they won't shoot you on purpose. Maybe the gun will just fall out of their waistband there because they were too afraid to go get that self-same jug of milk without carrying enough firepower to take down six or seven human beings. How about a little mercy in that regard? I wonder how many young college students in this country would like the mercy of debt forgiveness. This is, after all, a jubilee year, as declared by His Holiness Pope Frank, which is supposed to include a general forgiveness of debt. Yeah, it ain't happening here. We ain't no Christian nation, not when it comes to the money, sunshine. Oh, hell no. Yeah. I wonder maybe if those 1 in 4 children in America who go to bed hungry every night would like a little bit of mercy. Or the more than 1% of the entire population of this country who are in prison right now in support of a profitized, monetized prison industrial complex. I wonder if they'd like a little mercy. No, the only mercy we're going to get is if Ted Cruz gets to be president. That's some bullshit mercy.
But no, that's not my concern. My concern is not what the media thought. What the media thought about us to this nation, and I looked at sexual sin, not just homosexuality, but I drew in other forms of sin as well.
With dragons.
But here's my question: where across the nation do we even find a little bit of repentance going on in nooks and crannies? I mean, tiny little churches somewhere where there's actually 60 people coming to repentance.
He used nooks and coming in the same sentence. Thank you, Goddess of Irony.
And they're falling on their faces and with humble and contrite heart.
Boom, boom. They're pratfalling on their faces.
It's before God and worshiping God and repenting of sin. And we begin to see profound changes occurring in tiny little nooks and crannies. I would love to see a little bit, I mean a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of repentance going on somewhere across this country, and I'm just not seeing it.
Now, wouldn't you love to have the kind of money it takes to put a really, really good really good private detective on Kevin Swanson? Like the Continental Op out of Dashiell Hammett's early 20th century detective novels. Just kind of put a tail on Kevin Swanson and follow him there from the broadcast studio down to the red light district, and maybe use one of those hypersensitive parabolic microphones or something to to catch the negotiations when he's asking the prostitute how much it costs to be spanked real good because he's been a dirty, dirty, sinful, sinful man who needs repentance. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be a hoot.
If I don't see it in the nooks and crannies, why in the world would God bless
this guy? What is it with him in the nooks and crannies? It's beginning to sound a little bit like a fixation. Like I said, we need a better mental health care system in this country.
Bless the nation. That's my question.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Why wouldn't Hillary Clinton get full reign upon this nation to continue the destructive pattern, destroy the social fabric of the nation, the family, of course, so that, of course, there will be 75% of kids born outside of wedlock to single mothers by the year 2030. And so to be sure that tremendous majorities of American kids are taken down the track towards homosexuality, towards the destruction of sexuality, with pornography habits, illegitimate divorce, the shack-up rates being 30 times what they were in 1970 and so forth. Of course, that's the direction the nation is heading right now. Why? Because there is so little repentance and so few calls for repentance.
So what's this dumbass going to do when, say, we're talking about President Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American, is president, and we still have the divorce rate, and we still have gay marriage, and we still have teen pregnancy and out of wedlock. Yeah, he bitches about out of wedlock births, and yet at the same time he wants nothing to do with a woman's right to choose. Well, them babies is going to be born out of wedlock, dumbass.
Atne ute aitbre, this guy is, if you own a what I mean, may. Okay, Carol.
Carol says, I've got a granny cranny. Does he want to peek? The porn problem is squarely with Southern Christians. Well, now, not necessarily. The highest porn consumption rate in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever, indivisible, under God, amen, is Utah. That would be brother husband out there sighing over Zion. Yeah. But there's no getting around. There is absolutely no getting around the fact that we need. The things that homosexual marriage have brought to America are just too filthy and too disgusting to even begin to talk about. You know, like love and commitment and stability. Because you don't get a lot of that with your traditional family values marriage. I mean, consider for a minute, consider if you will, representing Jonathan Strickland, a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, re-pig-licking from Texas, who is describes himself as a Christian, conservative, liberty-loving Republican. And by the grace of God, his past sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. Representing Strickland, who uses the profile name Stick, way back a few years ago, was online in a forum connected to fantasy football. This is 2008.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't do fantasy football. It's just too much of a commitment for me. I'd rather just watch the game. But apparently they don't talk about just fantasy football in fantasy football forums, because there he was in a fantasy football forum back in 2008, and a fellow was complaining about the fact that his wife wouldn't do certain things with him. The fellow who was complaining. And the man who would become representing Jonathan Stickland from Texas explained biblical marriage to him. And he said, because the fellow who was complaining said that his wife wouldn't, and, you know, learned a lot by necessity in this business. And sometimes I just see things go by and I don't want to know, and I don't want emails explaining it to me. I don't need any tweets on what it is, no links to the Urban Dictionary or nothing, because I'm fresh out of mind bleach. But the fellow was complaining that his wife wouldn't reverse cowboy with him. No, I said don't. Don't want to know. That, yeah. And so, representing Stick, apparently wrote in this forum, rape is non-existent in marriage. Take what you want, my friend. Well, there's that old war on women thing raising its ugly head again. Rape is non-existent in marriage. Take what you want, my friend. And apparently, since he's liberty-loving, that means he's a libertarian kind of God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian. Which means he wants to smoke dope. And he was mad that his employer wanted him to pee in a jar for him. Yeah, they're stupid for doing this to me. I'm the residential manager. Lead company in sales every month, and now we will see how they respond. I smoke weed maybe 2 to 3 times a year. And then went on talking about how he'd bought himself a detox drink so he could pass his pee-pee test. And also posted he was looking for a smoke buddy. And gave out his own email address. That's how we know it's representing Stickland. Yeah, you may be wondering how all of this came to light. They were provided. There's an election coming up next November, and that means there's a primary ahead of it. And representing Stickland has competition in his primary there in Texas. And his primary opponent, Pastor Scott Fisher. They dropped the dime on Stick. Yeah, Pastor Scott, in the name of holy, blessed, sacred Jesus, went out and did some oppo research on old Stick. That, or maybe the Republican Party there, the machine in that particular district, is tired of old Stick. And once the news came out, Stick, who is usually just burning up the Twitters, you can find him at Rep Stickland. Well, he just posted one thing. All caps, bunch of exclamation points. Liberty! Sit, Liberty, sit. And the hashtag TXLEGE, TexLedge. ain't God good? He is. He is. Oh, no. Now, Brother Deacon Asa, didn't I say... Well, how in the hell do you do that? Well, this is a case where the explanation in words is simply insufficient. But I don't want pictures. I'd have to go and beg forgiveness from Agnes if I saw pictures or something. No pictures, damn it. Roger in Oregon pointing out that nooks and crannies is a consonant swap for crooks and nannies, which means he likes his spankings while wearing a diaper. No, that's David Vitter you're thinking of. See, there's stuff I just don't know. Subject line coming in from Thomas. Subject line, number one detective agency. Thomas says, you don't need to hire anyone. Just set up a Grindr account next time CPAC is in town, or a Craigslist ad for fun, and I'm sure plenty of right-wing folks would want to have fun time in the Greek gymnasiums. Laughing so hard I need depends. Signed, Thomas. They are funny, aren't they? Oh, dear. I've crossed the line again. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, Bob, Bob, Bob. For the love of all things holy, give us a respite from these Christian loons. You've not inflicted Chappie on us in a great while, but now you've found this tosser. We've been good. Why are you punishing us? All we got in common is our misery, Ron, and the least we can do is share it. Jack is not appreciative down in Shreveport. Dude, I think a puck warning was in order. There's no making some people happy. I mean, I thought the puck went as red on prayer meeting Wednesday, didn't it? Jeepers. I guess not. My apologies. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. And may the flying spaghetti monster forgive me. Coming from Jude up in the Great Northwest. If I may, the legal issue these dominionists are working hard to remove from women is the right to privacy and not the right to choose. Absolutely. And then you men are next. Wonder what legal right they're working on behind the curtains to infringe on your privacy. As much as I can hold of love, sending on to you at this moment. Peace, Jude. Thank you, Jude. Well, no. It's not what comes next. If you get the right to privacy, it's the Daily Double. If you can knock down the right to privacy, as it was enunciated in Griswold versus Connecticut, well, you've got it all. You've got contraception, and contraception means not only the pill, but also condoms. I mean, you realize that in early 20th century America, you could go and do serious hard prison time for simply selling condoms. There was no pill. There was no Copper 7. There was no sponge. There was no IUD. There were condoms. And you could go to prison for a very, very, very long time for selling them. Or offering them. Because we seem to think these theocratic urges in the United States are something new. They aren't. But you're right. Jude's right. It's not the right to choose. The right to choose will go by the wayside if they can just get rid of the right to privacy. Then it's over. So we've got, hopefully that will cover the biggest part of the fun we will have with the religion industry this evening. Hey, nice crowd there in the nice crowd there in the Horn chat room. You could be part of it too. You know, it doesn't cost anything. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Doubting Tom. Good evening, Stockton Larry. Good evening, Todd. Good evening, Trey. Good evening, Truth Seeker. Good evening, Will in Chicago. One and all. I keep reading that, Brother Asa, and I can't figure it out. Yeah, well, no, I won't. I won't ask it. No. I'm still not over learning about the rusty trombone in the Cleveland Steamer, and that was damn near 10 years ago.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, no, we've got we got a right smart bit of other stuff to cover this evening. And like I said, there are in particular a couple of stories that I've absolutely got to get to. But before we take a break, one more. Just one more. Brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, I want to introduce you to Senator Jim Tomes. Now, he's not a United States senator. He's a state senator from Tallahassee. And he's got some legislation he wants to introduce in the Senate of Tallahassee. And I'll give you pretty good odds that this will pass pretty quick. One of the big stories for 2015, of course, was the great big Indiana We Hate the Gays bill, which led to Memories Pizza making nearly $1 million. And you know, Mike Pence with his white helmet hair showed up repeatedly on the television to talk about how they don't discriminate against homosexuals in Tallahassee, which was of course a lie, and being a lie, and the fact that he got away with it by and was not stricken down with a struck down, smoted by a big old lightning bolt from the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky who doesn't exist. It, well, proves that the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky doesn't exist. But anyway, Jim Tomes is not giving up. And since apparently they're just going to have to learn to live with the Homer sectionals getting all married there in Tallahassee and eating pizza from Not Memories Pizza and all of that, well, like Kevin Swanson figuring out what's going to happen if Hillary Clinton becomes president and all the little children's become homosexual. Well, Jim Tomes has identified the real problem in Tallahassee. And he has remedied it with SB 35. In the name of Jesus! SB 35 prohibits schools from ever allowing transgender students from using restrooms that match their gender identity. And that's right, it's SB 35 is a potty bill. And the and students could never be anything more than the gender that was put on their birth certificate. You know what? In an effort to be a solutions guy and provide solutions on this program, here, let me help, because we've already got a precedent out there that we can follow, okay? you know that the Commonwealth of Kentucky, I presume you know, has recently removed the name of county clerks from marriage licenses in my old Kentucky home where the sun shines brightly. Damn it, Stephen Foster. Brightly. And so poor little old Kim Davis doesn't have to have her religious values violated anymore. So why can't we do the same thing with birth certificates? What real purpose? And I don't ask this rhetorically. If I'm missing something, do for God's sakes please tell me. What real purpose does putting a gender on a birth certificate serve? I was born male. And as quick as I became self-aware, I became self-aware that I was being raised that way. It's a cognition thing. It wasn't a matter of mother unfolding the birth certificate in front of me and saying, see, honey, see, you're male. It's right there on the box. See? Putting a gender on a birth certificate, it turns out, and who could ever have imagined this really, putting a gender box to check on a birth certificate winds up being a weapon in the hands of Senator Jim Tomes, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual that he is. It is a weapon to be used against people that he has decided he, Jim Tomes, does not like. Because, as noted, SB 35 makes sure that schools can never allow transgender students to use restrooms that are anything other than, well, they can't use a restroom that matches their gender identity. And students would forever, under Jim Tomes' bill, or at least as long as they're in the public school system, or any school system, students would forever be identified only by the gender that they were assigned by some clerk filling out a form at a nurse's station in a hospital, assuming the kid was born in a hospital. And from then on out, it wouldn't matter what the child's actual personal gender was. The clerk at the hospital, clothed with no authority whatsoever by anyone at all, unelected, isn't that what they like to say? Right. Some unelected nurse in teddy bear scrubs. Unelected judges in black robes. See how it works? Some unelected nurse in teddy bear scrubs is a determined... Right. And what that nurse in the teddy bear scrubs did would be used as a cudgel against children seeking to figure out their gender identity. So why not just get rid of the gender box altogether? See, people like Jim Tomes really are why we can't have nice things. Because there is nothing that these followers of Christ won't use as a weapon against other people. But it gets worse.
Also in SB 35, a simple bill, according to Senator Jim Tomes of Talibandiana, any transgendered person who uses a public restroom, locker room, or shower and that restroom, locker room, or shower room is sex-specific. In other words, it's got the little stick figure guy or the little woman, female figure, presumably wearing the little, whose lower half is a triangle with two sticks sticking out of it. Well, if a transgender person uses a restroom that Jim Tomes and his good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalist, Christ-centered Christian friends don't approve of, then the transgender person will have committed what that Jim Tomes has defined as a single-sex... Wait, we're going to need some reverb for this. Single-sex public facility trespass. Now here's the fun part. That crime will be defined as a Class A misdemeanor. I get lost in the Class A, Class B, whatever. Because we don't really have those here in West Virginia. We got misdemeanors and we got felonies. It keeps things easy to deal with. But apparently, in Talibandiana, a Class A misdemeanor is the misdemeanorest misdemeanor you can have and not be committing a felony. It is the next step down from a felony. Just short of a felony. If you get busted for a Class A misdemeanor in Talibandiana, you can be sent to jail for up to 1 year and be fined up to $5,000. And that is any public facility with the exception of a student at a school who's already banned from using the potty, a person under the age of 18 who's already, by virtue of being a student, banned from using the potty, and any private residence facility, like maybe, I don't know, a nursing home or something. When questioned about it, good God fear and upstanding Bible-believing Christ-centered Christian evangelical Senator Jim Tomes said, shouldn't we also ask about what about the other sector of society of people who have all through the decades women been using women's restrooms and men being using men's restrooms and kind of like that and kind of expect that level of privacy? Oh, now, Sarah Palin, are you cross-dressing again? Because that was Sarah Salad, that was. Wrong potty. A felony. Hey, come on, kid. No. Your name's not Mary Louise. Your name's Frank. Come on, Frank. You peed in the wrong place. Yeah. You want to pee where you want to pee. Maybe you need to go to one of them sicko liberal states where they have Greek education and polytheistic socialism, but not here in Talibandiana. Here's what you got to ask yourself. Did he pee once, or did he pee twice? Well, did you, punk? Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. <sighs> 24 minutes past the hour. Oh, and big thanks going out to Brother Deacon Asa. We now have only $40 to go to match Robert and Australia's up over down under end of the year challenge. And that'll get us, well, that'll get our eyes up to where we can see the top of the hole we're in. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Let's take a brief break, shall we? And listen, while we're taking the break, don't anybody, especially if you're in Taliban, Indiana, don't anybody go pee-pee in anywhere that Senator Tomes doesn't approve of. We need to get his line so people can start calling him at home to ask him if it's okay to go pee-pee. Because he apparently has a profound interest in knowing about when, where, how people go to the restroom. Oh, God. What in God's name do you use for a bumper for this? It does get, yeah, I got it, yeah. You're listening to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. I'm proud of this.
Oh, look out! She came in through the bathroom window, protected by a silver spoon. But now she sucks at love and wonders by the banks of her own lagoon. Didn't
once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby. I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a way get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
The universe is a marvelous thing. I don't recall ever using that medley on the program before. She came in through the bathroom window, golden slumbers, and carry that weight a long time. Wait a long time. And I say that because I've got a note from Jack in Shreveport asking, would this law include... Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Would this law include penalties against women using the men's bathroom at a sports stadium because the women's line is too long and everybody's been drinking beer? And that happens. That happens, yeah. I'm thinking probably upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, homosexual, fundamentalist, Christian Senator Tomes... hasn't thought that part out, but it, probably the way, I don't know. And Ron in Raleigh is thinking along the same lines. Bob, I'm sure you've attended a sporting event or concert where women have lined up to use the men's bathroom because of the long lines for the women's bathroom. Will these women now be subject to arrest and incarceration? Just asking. Well, first, Ron, we're going to have to find out if they is really women's. Because, see, what this means is that sometimes, under this here bill, if you are the gender, if you are only to be the gender unelected nurse in the teddy bear scrubs put on your birth certificate, then somebody sashaying into the men's room in a stunning cocktail frock may be a guy, in which case it's perfectly all right for him to be in there going pee-pee. And it's going to get even more complicated, see, because he's probably still going to have to sit down and go pee-pee because it's kind of hard to haul up all them crinolines and petticoats and stuff with a stunning cocktail frock. Good Lord. I mean, I didn't want to, but I just found out what the reverse cowboy is. Not to get too graphic or anything, I think you have to have a schmeckle like a sling blade. I mean, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a banana blade, but some people call it a sling blade. In order to just, and say, oh my God. It's just going to get hectic. And Steve asks a similar question. What if I really have to pee and use a women's restroom? Up the river. And Steve also notes, I've begun to think that the hockey puck warning is actually harmful. I'm thinking we need to take it as a sort of vaccination to right-wingery. Well, and that's true, but the hockey puck warning was ever always just an attempt to keep you from, I mean, let's say you're listening to the podcast and you got your headphones on there in your cubicle there at Cogswell Cogs, and so next thing you know, I haven't given out the hockey puck warning, and you're in there in the cubicle and you start screaming, "Well, son of a," and Mr. Cogswell comes from Spacely. That's all that is. Oh, and by the way, a challenge upon a challenge via Twitter from our buddy Jason. My birthday was the 27th, and I was 53, so the next 53 bucks you get, I will match with my birthday bucks. Let me know when it's done, and I will if it gets done. So we've got 40 bucks to go on Robert's challenge, and then there's another 53 on the table from Jason. And frankly, everything we raise is a huge help because we're, well, you know, I've already said. So we need to raise 93 bucks. Really? 93 bucks? 10 people at $9.30 and it's going to be a challenge? I mean, it is a challenge. There's a challenge on the table. A matching challenge to turn your $9.30 into $18.60. Can we do that? One of these days, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be the guy who sits there working for Daily Coast. Dear friend, did I mention that we need to raise $1 million? How do you do? Oh, Jesus. Heather, by the way, with a note. No, don't Google reverse cowboy. Too late. Now, I'm sure that this is going to cause no amount of Sturm und Drang. The Veterans Affairs Hospital in Tucson, Arizona, is opening a new wing. And this is encouraging, but I am sure that... What's the date on this? What's the date? Yeah, December 29th, 2015, according to National Petroleum Radio. The VA hospital in Tucson, Arizona, will become one of the first VA hospitals in the United States to open a clinic devoted specifically to the needs of transgender veterans. And that is humane. And that is decent, and yes, Brother Deacon Asa, that is encouraging. And there will be, since that story came out on the 29th of December, as soon as the new Congress, as soon as the Congress comes back into session, there will be hearings. And we will, but what about the poor, what about any poor little children visiting, visiting their dear their uncle or auntie at the facility, and they go into the potty and there's somebody wearing a dress who, oh my God, sweet Jesus, the end is near. And I go back to my thesis, which is, I mean, this Congress, with its Louis Gohmerts and its Ted Cruzes, and its Steve Cantaloupe Kings. And it's the Joni Ernst's. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why we have to have a goddamn debate every time a storm wipes out some community. Because we are in the clutches of an insurgency. An insurgency led and maintained by people who are wholeheartedly opposed to the idea of civil constitutional governance and the idea of civil society as a whole. Plain and simple. All right. And I should, oh, let me, get, Bob, you forgot to give the phone number out. The number here, if you want to get involved in the program, if you want to carry on a conversation, because it is, in fact, conversation radio.
Oh, very good, Carol Baker. Very good. The new wing at the Tucson Hospital. She said, don't tell me it's a right wing. No, actually. If you want to get involved in the program, area code 304-574-8178. That's line one. Line two is the stress line, named in memory of the one and only, the inimitable, the gone but not forgotten, Bill Mr. Stress Miller. The stress line is 304-663-4676. 304-663-4676. And that spells horn, 4676, H-O-R-N. So you can, you know, you can write it down somewhere. Put it in the notes section of your phone or something. Bob, 304-663-H-O-R-N. Yeah, oh, yeah, got it. Now, email bobkincaid@gmail.com, at Bob Kincaid on Twitter. Hillbilly Elitist, I think, on Instagram, Bob Kincaid on Facebook. And God Almighty, I do. I got a stack that's 3 feet high, but there are a couple of things that I really, really, really want to make sure we get to this evening. This is one of them. Now, by way of backstory on this, anybody who has ever been involved in a protest against, say, mountaintop removal, knows how vile and hateful the other side can be, and violent. I think back several 4th of Julys ago, back when Larry Gibson was still with us. I think about the liquored up mountaintop removal worker with the tattoos all over his neck who showed up drunker than Cooter Brown's off ox. And in front of it was naked from the waist up, wearing a pair of short pants, and he was all drunk, and he went to smashing hot dogs against his body. And then he looked over at a man and his little 4-year-old boy, and he just looked at him, and he drew his finger across his throat as if to cut the throat of the little 4-year-old tree hugger boy. People in this state have seen the Calvin peeing on the word tree hugger, decals on trucks. They've seen the bumper stickers, make America or make West Virginia beautiful, kill a tree hugger. My friend and my mentor, Judy Bonds, who would later die of cancer, who lived most of her life near a coal processing facility, was struck in the head by a woman named Ruth Taylor at a protest against mountaintop removal. That good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered woman stepped out and punched Judy right in the head. And while going pee-pee in the wrong restroom in Indiana may well wind up getting you a year in the stir and $5,000, she was fined $25 and given court costs and told to go and sin no more. The same thing happened with the guy with the throat slitting motion. I tell you all of that because whether it's mountaintop removal that bothers you, or whether it's the tar sands or the Keystone XL pipeline or fracking, there will always be a group of ignorant, violence prone assholes there to try to intimidate. The people who are gathered together simply trying to protect their friends, their family, their communities, their future.
Behold a man named John Pisone, and I swear I did not intentionally do set up the program to go from talking about a pee-pee story to a guy who the first syllable of whose name is piss. John Pisone showed up at an anti-fracking protest in Butler, PA, or near Butler, PA. And of course, as a means of protection, self-defense, your average protester does not use guns. They tend to use cameras. And so John Pisone shows up at this anti-fracking protest in Pennsylvania. And they can't and they can't help themselves. I mean, I've seen it a million times. Well, if you don't like coal, why do you drive a car? You don't like coal, you tree hugger? Why don't you freeze death in the dark? Yeah. Well, somehow or another, the talking points propagate across hydrocarbon lines. What I'm about to play for you, courtesy of a photojournalist, a man by the name of Tom Jefferson, who is a photojournalist who focuses on social justice and climate change, and is working on a documentary called The Way We Live. When John Pisone showed up, and man, you can hear the classic Pennsylvania accent here. When he showed up at the protest to harangue the old, mostly old people who were gathered there because they like to breathe clean air and drink clean water, and they have a moral objection against being poisoned for profit. Fracking company profits, because God knows it is a toxic industry. You want to drink water? Don't live near fracking. John Pisone had something to say to the assembled protesters. To hockey puck or not to hockey puck? That is the question. I guess you know it might be neat. Look, okay, we're all grown-ups here. If you need the hockey puck, use the hockey puck. If you don't, don't. If you want to be like me and be Odysseus listening to the Song of the Sirens, which this ain't, but you go ahead and just lash yourself to the mast and ride right through. Here we go. Oh, and by the way, one of my main purposes in running this is because you can't do this on for-profit radio without having to put in a bunch of precious beeps and bleeps, because there are some words there that might shock the cheerins, at least according to the FCC. So, this.
That's all. Put on horse shit that you fucking could be made of. You got your horse shit boots on, I see. You're walking in it. Yeah, I do work. What do you do? Protect the community. Protect the humanity.
Yeah.
Take my tax dollars too? Or have you actually, done something with your life? Have you had any kind of a job?
Now, the guy who just started laughing is an old, white-bearded man who has probably worked more hours in his life than John Pisone will ever work in his miserable existence. But see, this is the thing with right-wingers. They feel privileged. They feel entitled to just spew their venom and their poison at anybody with no consequences whatsoever. one of the women in the backgrounds, and they're sitting in the rain, for God's sakes. These are dedicated people. Sitting in a cold rain. One of the people sitting in the background in a rocking chair has a sign that says, Grandparents' Christmas Wish, No Fracking by Schools. How is that even remotely controversial? Who would want fracking next to a school where children try to learn? No drilling next to our kids? Yeah, because that's a radical commie notion. Have you ever even held a job? Oh, by the way, I should mention before we get there, that at one point in time, John Passone will address himself directly to the camera. And Tom Jefferson is a man of color. You ready? Go.
Done something with your life. Have you had any kind of a job? Or this chimp right here.
What'd you say?
Yeah, chimp. Yeah. Fucking nigger right here with a fucking mop on his head.
No. You better get out of here.
I don't give a fuck. He's milking my fucking tax dollars.
You better get out.
I don't give a fuck what you have to say.
Oh, really?
Well, that's because
lazy
you're
fucker. I'm stupid. I actually want people to have a fucking job. Well, you let you fun. Go ahead and sit on your fucking chair. Be a lazy fucking no nothing.
Oh,
you ain't taking
me out of here.
We are peaceful.
Peaceful.
So long.
You ain't gonna get no fucking job with the mop on your head. How about you cut that off? Goddamn lazy fucking hippies is all you are.
So do you want to stay here all day? I mean, do you have anything better to do?
I don't want to work. I've been working since 5 this morning.
No, not here. Okay. If you've been working since 5 this morning, why don't you go home and get a beer?
I'm bored. I still have plenty of energy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you go work second shift?
Nothing to do. I got rained out for the day.
Oh, okay.
So I can tease you fuckers.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Apparently they don't agree with you either. What are you trying to do anyhow? Like,
we're protecting the community.
What are you protecting it from? Jobs?
You dumbass.
Do you think that like we're actually gonna have like an interesting conversation? Because I don't think we're gonna be able to have an interesting conversation with you. So like if you just wanna like yell things at us, then do it. Like, but we're probably not gonna have like learn too much from each other.
There ain't nothing to learn from you fucking idiots.
Okay. Well,
get the fucking camera out of my face,
you
asshole.
You keep your hands to yourself.
Oh what?
Yeah, John Pissone just committed the crime of battery, by the way. He reached out and he touched the camera that was pointed at him. And by the way, he's in a public space. He injected himself into the situation, so he has no right whatsoever to get the camera out of my face. There is privilege just glowing in the dark off of this ignorant freak. But you know, he's you're just sucking up my tax dollars. Based on what? His tax dollars didn't buy that camera. His tax dollars didn't buy the gasoline it took to get there. Or the electricity. Let's be hopeful. No. But these people are taught. They are taught talking points because they don't have the brains to actually come up with them on their own. So, back to it.
There ain't nothing to learn from you fucking idiots.
Okay, well.
Get the fucking camera out of my face, asshole.
You should keep your hands to yourself.
Oh, what?
Didn't your mom teach you that when you were a little kid?
My mom taught me to go to work and value hard work, not fucking protest and being a fucking lazy bum.
My mom taught me how to shave her back.
Fucking lazy monkeys. maybe the 10th one I've seen in my life, too. They all look the same to me. Good morals.
Really?
Now, what's interesting out of all of that is that dipshit does his best to antagonize an altercation. And he fails. Not one of those protesters was armed. Not one of them. And by the way, this was a protest against an outfit called Rex Energy. No one needed a gun to make that thug, that ignorant, redneck, white boy, Bubba thug, give up and go away. And guess what? They thought that he was a worker for Rex Energy. No. It turns out he was an employee of the land company from whom Rex Energy was leasing the land, out of which they were sucking the gas and, you know, poisoning the community. MMC Land Management, or whatever they're called, got wind of this. Mm-hmm. And sacked, as the English say, or as we say here in the hills, shit-canned, Mr. Pissone. This does not make the land company in any wise a decent bunch of folks, but it is at least interesting. The drilling operation is in the Mars Area School District. Mm-hmm. And again, how is it controversial to not want fracking to take place near a school? I mean, Jesus Christ, it took us years. It took one man walking from the Coal River Valley all the way to Washington, D.C. to Robert Byrd's office, and then more to get a new school built for school children down in the Coal River Valley, because the old school was sited right next to a big, filthy, vile, toxic, poisonous coal prep plant and stood in the shadow of 2.8 billion gallons of toxic waste that could have given way behind that dam at any moment. And only after shaming the state into building the school was it finally accomplished, because I'm ashamed of myself, I can't remember the name of the foundation now, put up $1 million and said, we got $1 million here to build this school. And all of a sudden, Joe Manchin got all misty-eyed and damp in his mannish places. And the next thing you know, there was another $1 million from Massey Energy and $1 million from the State School Building Authority, and the new Marsh Fork Elementary School is away from that godforsaken hellhole. It takes a long time, this kind of work. And all I have is admiration
for these grannies and grandpas and these 30-somethings and 20-somethings who stood there in freezing rain in the name of the integrity of little children's bodies. But it turns out Mr. Pisone does not work for Rex Energy. He works for MMC Land Management. And MMC Land Management, all kinds of lickety-split, dumped his ass. And along the way, because MMC Land Management already has a public relations nightmare on their hands, said, "Today we were disgusted to learn that one of MMC's former employees used racial slurs and made racially charged comments during a peaceful protest in Mars, Pennsylvania, outside of work hours at a location with which we have no affiliation. We are sorry this incident occurred, whether at work or not. We do not condone hate speech, ever. MMC has terminated this employee and will never do business with him again in the future. Happy New Year, Mr. Pisone." So I don't know what the relationship is between Rex Energy and MMC Land Management. I don't. But you know what? I do know? I know that this doesn't bother me that he lost his job one goddamned bit. That's the sort of thing that needs to happen a hell of a lot more. In this country. But I'm sure somewhere out there in T-Bagistan, somebody is already painting this man up as a martyr. See, hey, that Obama, that Kenyan Muslim you slurper, he got him farred for just what he thinks. This ain't America no more. You know it's happening. As sure as God made little green apples and you eat too much of them, you'll get a bellyache and the squirts. You know it's happening. Oh, sure. Steve noting PISS1, P-I-S-O-N-E, PISS1. What do you want to bet, Steve asks, Mr. Manly Man Working Man is going to sue his now former employer with one of them liberal plaintiff lawyers? I hope he tries. Pennsylvania Stan one of those right to work or at least at will employment states where workers and employers are equal in the bargaining in the bargaining balance because you can because the employer can hire or fire you. Can fire you for any reason or no reason, and the employer can quit for any reason or no reason, and that makes them equal? Watch this space. Yes, yes indeed. Let's run over to the stress line real quick and check in with Jim out in Nevada-stan. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob? Yeah, Nevada's a right to work for West State, too.
Oh, glory.
As we go into the metro area versus the more spread out area, you got Las Vegas, maybe Reno, and then everything else is pretty much, smaller towns and stuff. But anyway, that guy bitching and moaning, he'll be the first one, complaining when they don't hire him, and wanting, unemployment or disability, which are things which, by doing this hate speech, I would assume he would be against. as long as he's gainfully employed. You know what I mean?
Well, yes. I mean, and he'll cry loudly. Work for a living. Well, you did until you turned out to be a filthy racist. But here's the next question: what do we make of anybody who would ever hire this guy for the rest of his life?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they hired him with another company because he did what they wanted, but you know, through the shell games, plural, that these corporations can use, they could just. Okay. We're not saying this publicly. This is between you and me, Mr. Asshole. We like what you did. We'll give you a job over here at one of our shell companies. You know me. I missed the conspiracy, but
yeah. Well, no, that's not being a conspiracy theorist, Jim. That's being a realist. I mean, you're not getting any messages through the fillings in your teeth, are you?
No. But the other thing, I was going to give you a little bathroom story.
Oh, goody.
That happened to me a couple of years, decades ago. And it's really starting to piss me off that it's so easy for me to start referring to things that happened to me decades ago. But anyway, I was going to UNO and you know, University of New Orleans. And
for Minter, I thought you meant University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
That's UNLV.
Yeah, UNO. Okay, yeah.
And I had a nature call all of a sudden, and I just walked into a bathroom not knowing that it was the female bathroom, thinking it was the male bathroom, and I had to get to the, you know, when I say a nature call, it was close, you know.
Yeah.
So I got into the stall. I didn't really look around. I didn't check for urinals. I walked in, and next thing I know, I'm in the women's room.
Yeah.
Now, nothing happened. Long story short, as soon as I realized that, I just took care of my business and got out. But from what you just told me, I could have been busted for a felony.
No, a Class A misdemeanor, which is. It's just one stop short of a felony. In Talibandiana, after they manage to pass this law, that will be assuming they pass this law, and it's Talibandiana, so I think it's a safe bet, don't you? You would be on the hook for a. Well, no, because I think it expressed if a transgender person does it, which is a whole different bucket of snakes. How are you going to, because now under the, if you had been in Talibandiana when that happened, and if we're in the future, not in the past, we just noticed you taking a pee-pee in the ladies' room. Sir, are you transgendered? And you go, no. They go,
no.
Oh, well, okay.
That's interesting the way the law works.
Or maybe they just arrest you and then try to sort it out while you're getting your lawyer on the line, realizing that you've just won a $1 million settlement from the state of Talibandiana. Who knows?
Well, a $1 million winning sounds good, but I don't think I'm going to move to Taliban.
Well, but the thing is, you'll have to spend some time in the hooscow there. And, yeah, no, $1 million may sound nice, but no.
Well, no, I've been to jail a few times, and it's never fun. It's never cracked up to what it's been. One time it was a felony, but I got that overturned. But I beat the case. That was the time I got busted for possession of, like, my one phenobarbital.
Right, yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. No, but that's just.
Well, you might be interested. Steve in New York just pointed out that Mr. Pisson has. There's probably an immediate opening for him in the Trump campaign.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. This kind of. I don't know. I guess I missed the bus on that as far as like getting that kind of mindset. Thank goodness. You know, and I wonder. Because I'm sure if things went differently, I could be a right winger, but there ain't no way in hell I could be a right winger now, seeing what goes on. And when this, the reality,
it's kind of like being a Christian. I mean, you can read their holy book, and there's some pretty much bug sprayed crazy stuff in there, but there's some nice pretty stuff too about everybody loving each other and not killing each other and suffer the little children and don't be rotten to folks and feed the hungry and clothe the naked and house the homeless and visit people in prison and who are sick and stuff like that. And you think, you know, I could get down with that. But then you realize you would actually have to go and start hanging out with those people, you know,
right,
the Christians.
Right, and then you got to get involved in their little cult. I mean, that's all Christianity consists of, a whole bunch of different cults in the grand scheme of things. I mean, even one Baptist church is going to be different than the other, and they won't say it out loud to each other's face, but they will tell. The inside joke is, you're in the right team.
Yeah,
they're
going
to hell anyway.
Those people over there, they're going to hell.
That goes over to my Buddhist days. It was, because I mentioned my Alan Watts. This isn't Zen. Zen, and in so many words, it was, I mean, Zen is heresy, you know. And in fact, it was, as I remember, it was kind of like almost, well, you'd almost be better being a Mooney or a whatever than being a different, the wrong sect of Buddhism. Like, as if the way I found out about that particular sect that I ended up joining and practicing, 4 or 5 years or whatever, it's not like a big convention where they had different kinds of Buddhism. Which one do you want? A bit different kinds of Muslim or Islam or Christianity. Which one do you want? It's kind of like happenstance. You know, just like most people are born into whatever religion they end up not choosing, but being born into, and I'd say 80-90% end up sticking with it, short of some big family feud. So.
Yeah, or short of being able to, I mean, because you don't want to come out as atheist in Saudi Arabia, all right? Because because they will cut your head off. Because they are our partners in peace, and they're the good head loppers, and they will kill you. They will kill you deader than Pharaoh's doorknobs.
Right. Yeah, that's just crazy. But, I mean, that's my little bathroom story. I don't think I have anything else. I'm going to let you go back and let another caller get through.
All right, Jim, good to hear from you. I won't be talking to you again before the New Year, so Happy New Year to you.
Do you have a Happy New Year? I'll probably try and catch your show Friday.
Yeah, jump in on Malloy's program.
All right.
Have a good one. See you, Jim. Bye now. Our buddy Jim out in Nevada, Stan. Okay, so I guess we got to do this. I have here the text of Indiana Senate Bill number 35, which Jim Tomes says is a simple bill. And back we go again, right? It's a simple bill.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
And I did know, because... get this, if I sit here and read this whole damn thing, there's got to be one prosecutor somewhere in the state of Talibandiana who's going, freely, because what? I'm bored? Definitions. This chapter applies to a public school, including a charter school. Section 2. As used in this chapter, biological gender refers to the physical condition of being male or female as determined by an individual's chromosomes and identified at birth by the individual's anatomy. Oh, does it?
And this is why I mentioned the prosecuting attorney out there somewhere. There's got to be one Democratic prosecuting attorney somewhere in Indiana who will show up at the committee hearings and say, have you people lost what was left of your itsy-bitsy, teensy-weensy, itsy-bitsy, spider-little minds? So let's say that that Senator Toms, and by the way, I'm looking at this legislation here, there is no way that that man is intelligent enough to write even two or three of the sentences in this bill. This is something that's been cooked up by that dickhead in Kansas, or the Koch brothers, or Alec, or the American Freedom Liberty Gender Council, or some well-funded right-wing bunch of thugs. Because your average teabagger legislature ain't that smart. Biological gender refers to the physical condition of being male or female as determined by an individual's chromosomes and identified at birth by the individual's anatomy. As determined, notice the use of the word and. And is a very different word from the word or. And it's a little bitty word, both of them, and they're the kind of things that drive lawyers absolutely out of their damn minds. So in order to establish biological gender for a person, this genius has just required that a prosecutor prove in a prosecution of this case that the baby at the time of birth, and let's assume that we're not going to go after anybody under the age of over the age of 18, so let's assume that it'll take effect on, say, July 1, 2016. That means nobody born before 1998. Okay, you still with me? That means back in 1999, at the time that our defendant was born, that the hospital in question shall have to have performed genetic testing. Or that there will, at the very least, after the bust, have to be genetic testing. To establish one individual's chromosomes, and then you're going to have some sort of documentary evidence, presumably the birth certificate, identified at birth by the individual's anatomy. And that devilish little word and is right there, which means that you're going to have to prove both of those things. You're going to have chromosomal testing and the birth identification. Genius, huh? In any school setting in which a student may be in a state of full or partial undress in the presence of other students, school personnel shall ensure that separate private areas are provided for use only by female students and only male students based upon the student's biological gender. State of undress? What's going on in Senator Toms's potty? God damn it! It sounds like a strip joint in there. Is there a disco ball? Is there loud, heavy subwoofer-influenced music being played? Are there dollar bills floating from the ceiling? State of undress or partial undress? Show of hands, please. Everybody who has to get naked in the bathroom, email me. I'm not trying to put too fine a point on this, but I think you get the idea. Let's see, single sexy time public, no, that's single sex public facility trespass. As used in this section, female means an individual who was born female at birth or has at least one X chromosome and no Y chromosome.
And male means an individual who was born male at birth or has at least one X chromosome and at least one Y chromosome. I cannot wait for this law to, for this thing to become law. I absolutely am. Oh, mercy sakes alive. I think we'll put on, for the first prosecution of this case, honest to God, I'll put up a Kickstarter campaign just to, so I can go out and cover the trial. This is going to be the DNA equivalent of the Scopes monkey trial. As used in this section, male means an individual who was born male at birth. I cannot wait for the well-funded, meaner-than-hell litigator who pro bonos her time to defend somebody charged with this and puts some low-rent pissant Indiana County prosecutor still pulling the fucking hay out of his asshole to the proof. Was born male at birth. Was born female at birth. Define, please. And then in come all the pro bono experts to talk about gender and what gender means. Section 5A, male, and remember, that's going to be subjected to all that goddamn proof, who knowingly or intentionally enters a single-sex public facility that is designed to be used by females, or female who knowingly or intentionally enters a single-sex public facility that is designed to be used by males. What if they're post-op? It is a defense to prosecution under this chapter if a person enters a single-sex public facility for custodial purposes, to render medical assistance, or to accompany a child less than 8 years of age. So a transgender person who is the janitor can clean out a transgender male can... A male-to-female transgendered person who is the janitor can clean out the women's room. And a female to male transgendered person can go running into the boys' room to perform the Heimlich maneuver, and either one of them can accompany a child less than 8 years of age into the potty. But I thought that that's what they were having their hemorrhage about in the first place. What do we tell the Chirons? Oh, the stupid is strong with these ones. Yeah, by the way, quick, I guess you know about... Carol Baker just said, oh, Bob, God has smited a teabagger. This bitch has been annoying me on Fox lately, and this is priceless. She's the one who comes on wearing her triple-tier bullet necklace. We are talking, of course, about Katrina Pearson, spokes creep for T-Rump, who recently went on Chicken Noodle News wearing her bullet necklace. And apparently a makeup foundation shade commonly known as Stone Age Ochre, Stone Age Yellow Ochre. That's one creepy looking woman. Sorry. I try to stay away from that, but this is a Trumper, and they're into that kind of thing. So by all means, let's wallow. She showed up wearing a bullet necklace just to get attention on CNN. And then she said, well, after all, and it caused a stink on Twitter, of course. And after the stink was caused on Twitter, she said, well, maybe next time I'll wear a fetus. Nah, you stupid hack. Next time, why don't you wear your Muslim knuckle bone necklace? Encourage her. Well, it turns out she's a hustler.
Yeah. No, I don't mean like that. She collected, Carol tells me, she collected $11,000 in unemployment compensation benefits, you know, that she doesn't believe in because she's a conservative. She collected these unemployment benefits at the same time she was, working for the Senate campaign back in Texas of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American. At the same time she was collecting these $11,000, she was also going around the country lecturing on the dangers of, wait for it, Agenda 21. As Charlie Pierce notes, the insidious campaign to steal all our golfs. Don't take long at all, does it? Nope. Not long at all. Note coming in from Glenn. Now, here's a good one. Subject line, naked. You know it's going to be good when the subject line is naked. Here's a good one. When I was in high school, all the way from 7th grade to 12th grade, which would have been from 1967 to 1973, we had to swim naked in the high school pool. It was required for the boys only. Now, tell me, isn't that fucked up? It is. It is. Who was the gym coach, Glenn? No, boys. No. Swim on your backs. Now swim on your belt. Yeah. And that was apparently in Grand Island, New York. Meanwhile, subject line potty law, Jack in Shreveport says, what the f-? I'm still stuck at that part that says at least one X chromosome and at least one Y chromosome. What the, might that imply? Well, no, there are people out there who don't have the full set. You know, typically a male has an X and a Y, and the female has the two X's. And I guess you can have a genetic anomaly where you only got the one X or the one Y. Because the males with two Ys are like some, I don't remember, aren't, isn't that like some, isn't there some sort of horror movie about that? Oh, fun. Carol notes, with regard to Katrina Pearson, I wonder if she shoplifted that bullet necklace. She has a record for that, too. Oh, that T-Rump, he can hire him, can't he? I'm sure, I don't know if you saw it or not, but another individual got run out of another T-Rump Clavern meeting. I think for referring to him as a fascist. Some wrestler type body slammed him for it. Now, this went down on Monday evening. He was having another one of his Kulturkampf rallies, and this one was in Nashua, New Hampshire. NPR reporter Asma Khalid, who was sent to cover it, tweeted out, "I wanted to make sure I hadn't misheard Donald Trump's Muslim comments, so transcribing that section here." Same thing with the Muslim situation. I took a lot of heat, 2-3 days of heat. Then people saying, you know, maybe he's right. Now they're all talking about it. Somebody had to bring it up. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't bring it up, it would have never been brought up, okay? And we have Muslims. They're wonderful. We have wonderful people. But there's something going on there. I know, my Trump sucks.
They have to turn in, like, for instance, these people in California. People knew he had bombs all over the floor. People knew it. Why didn't they turn him in? You got to turn him in because it's their culture. They're around each other. They know each other. They know what's... You got to turn them in.
Mm-hmm. So Trump is advocating for an East German-style Stasi state in which half of the country was informing on the other half of the country. Well, no, it's more like 1% of the... Well, I don't know how you work it, but no, the Muslims have to snitch on other Muslims, whatever. But interestingly, he identifies a problem in their community. There's something going on in their culture, okay? There's only one problem. What does that mean for white folks? Why didn't anybody turn in Brother Deer while he was before he went baby warrior and killed people in Colorado Springs? Eh? Why didn't anybody turn in Dylan Roof? Because they knew he was going sideways. Mm-hmm. This comes after Trump said, Muslim people have to surveil their own people. But we got nothing to worry about with gunned up, ultra-violent, ultra-stupid white people. Absolutely nothing. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see. Nope. But this is going to work. This is definitely going to work for Peter King of New York. Uh-huh. Now, remember, Peter King of New York was in the past a vocal supporter of the Irish Republican Army. A very vocal supporter of the Irish Republican Army and the terrorist tactics that they used in what was referred to as the Troubles. And Peter King would have been outraged had anybody ever suggested that somebody needed to be keeping an eye on him. Fox News Sunday, he went on and Chris Wallace, the best part of whom ran down Mike Wallace's wife's leg, asked him about mosque surveillance, and Peter King said, we can say that 98 or 99% of Muslims in this country are good people. I'm actually swearing in the first elected Muslim on Long Island to office. She's a good friend of mine, so this is nothing against Muslims. But the fact is that where the threat is coming from and we're kidding ourselves, we have this blind political correctness that makes no sense. Now, the only way you're going to find out this threat of attacks in advance is going to do the same 24/7 surveillance that was done in the Italian-American communities when they were going after the mob and mafia, and the Irish communities when they were going after the Westies. You look where the terror threat is going to come from, and it's going to come from the Muslim community. The only problem is that, yeah, that stuff was tried. They shut it down because it didn't do any good. It didn't work. It didn't give them any evidence. And in New York, they've already tried spying on Muslims and spying on mosques. Over the course of 6 years of spying on Muslims organizations and mosques and individual Muslims, the secret demographics unit of the NYPD never generated not one single lead, neither did it trigger a single terrorism investigation. Meanwhile, I really would like to hear from T-Rump as to why it is, that nobody ever seems to turn in these white terrorists who want to go and shoot up various places, women's healthcare facilities, mosques, such as. Because they don't. Those busts always happen because the FBI slips in and infiltrates a cletus into the gang, and then they get busted, and then the federal judge says that the guy who said he wanted to be the standoff gunner and mow down Muslims in Islamburg, New York, he's not sure if that constituted a credible threat. Some of you guys are so polite. Jeff wants to call in and talk about Peter King. Absolutely, you're more than welcome to. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Don't ever say that again. I appreciate you making it.
Oh, well, thank you. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Peter King. I covered this over on FYI Nation earlier, and it's kind of funny how, you know, we gotta go where the terrorists are, Bob. We gotta go where the terrorists are. White Christian men have performed more acts of terror on American soil than Muslims. Why aren't we
by orders of magnitude?
Yeah. So why aren't we spying on the churches? I mean, if you're a good patriotic American. And if you're a good patriotic Christian, just like 90% of those Muslims are, according to Peter King, then you would, of course, be okay with the government and the FBI, the police spying in on your church, right?
Yeah. I mean, why isn't there an FBI special agent camped out at some Waffle House on the Georgia-South Carolina line every night at 11 p.m.?
Got to go to the IHOP, man.
Nah, not in the South. It's Waffle House.
Man. Oh, it's Waffle House. See, I'm not from the South, so.
Yeah, well, we're here for cultural education as well.
Oh, excellent! I will learn a lot about the South from you, Bob. So it's good you're here.
I live to serve.
Education is your game. All right, I love it. Peter King. It's amazing how interested he is in spying on every American. I mean, he says it's the Muslims. You know, he's going to go after the Muslims because they're the in group to beat up on today. They're the in group. That's the out group.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. I mean, you know, tag, you're it.
Right. Exactly. And you know, first it was Trump with the Mexicans, T Rump as you call them, and now it's the Muslims. Boy, they just love picking on him. But really, what Peter King wants to do, at least in my opinion, you can correct me if I'm wrong. He just wants carte blanche to spy on all Americans because, well, I don't know why. It's there's no reason because, as you pointed out, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Why? That's my question.
Well, because I think, Jeff, because it answers a basic need among among people of very, very, very small minds to be made to feel secure whether they are or not. You get my meaning there? They want to see somebody saying something, doing something, you know, because, I mean, first of all, I have a hard time even trying to imagine myself into that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because that mindset is all over the place here where I live. You can't go to the grocery store without strapping on a shooting iron.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to do that because you never know when there's going to be a bad guy with a gun, except for the fact that most of the time it turns out that the guy who strapped on the gun to go to Walmart is the bad guy with the gun.
Well, I mean, that's because everybody's a good guy with a gun until they turn bad.
Right, that's why I use the phrase, and you're welcome to use it as well. Let's get it out there into the general parlance because it'll make the NRA's head explode. Lawful gun owners. But when you put it in writing, Jeff, what you have to do is you have to go parenthesis, capital L, close paren, capital A, WFUL, gun owner. Because the difference in lawful and awful is a matter is getting rid of that L, and that happens in the tiny physical space it takes for the trigger to cause the firing pin to hit the percussion cap.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's embedded in the back of the bullet or the shotgun shell. Okay.
Right.
And that, you know, they go, they, the lawful gun owner, I mean, Robert Deere in Colorado Springs, lawful gun owner.
Warrior for the babies, too.
The guy, the American citizen in San Bernardino, lawful gun owner. Dylan Roof, lawful gun owner. All of these freaks. Lawful gun owners.
Was it Lanza? Lanza.
Well, Robert? Adam.
Adam. Adam. Thank you.
Mother Lanza was a lawful gun owner, and she was also a lawful gun hoarder. Because that's the other thing: you can be a lawful gun hoarder until you become an awful gun hoarder.
I wonder how many guns does it take to be a lawful gun hoarder?
As many as you want, Merca.
Damn straight.
9/11.
Mm-hmm.
No, you say 9/11 back.
Oh, 9/11. 9/11.
9/11. Okay, good.
That's it.
We're square.
That's it. Yep. It's all about, I mean, these people, they have to be the most fearful people on the planet. I mean, they're afraid of...
They're afraid of their shadows. And you know, Jeff, more as much as anything else, they think themselves terribly, terribly, terribly special. They think that ISIS is coming after them. Because, see, most of them, Jeff, go to churches where they're told that anybody who brings them, if they ever get a cup of coffee in a cup that doesn't say Jesus on it at Starbucks, they're being persecuted for their faith.
Well, war on Christmas.
War, yeah, which is by definition a war on Christians, and they define themselves as Christians. Episcopalians need not apply. Those sissy United Churches of Christ that think that gay people can get married can just write the off. Okay, they define Christianity.
No weak sauce Christianity here, Bob.
No, honey mustard Christianity.
Mm-mm. You gotta go full hardcore Christian.
No honey mustard Christianity. It's strictly that ground mustard in warm water stuff that'll take your breath away, make you sweat for Jesus. Yeah, but they do. They think they're terribly special, and they think that somewhere out in the Iraqi Syrian desert, there's some lone ISIS guy who's saying, you know what? I am going to go to America, and I am going to kill Emery and Marveline where they sit right in their filthy American matching Barca loungers, even as they are watching that Sean Hannity. And I shall cut their heads off, and I shall put it in a basket, and then I shall take them, and I shall cut off Sean Hannity's head, too.
For the glory of Allah.
Allahu Akbar, y'all.
Absolutely. As I said, you know, you're right. There is this. I mean, when you look at Christianity, when you look at all religion, aren't they all telling you that you're special?
Well, yeah, but these guys are more special than others, Jeff.
Well, of course.
I mean, they are the elect. I mean, this is modern day neo-Calvinism.
Blood of the Lamb and all that.
Sure. But nowhere safe because just and this is just a transposition. We had to have a new devil as soon as our old devil was dead. As soon as the Obama administration got busy and wiped out Osama bin Laden, then we needed a new we had to have a new boogeyman. And so for a little bit it was Ebola,
and that turned out well.
And we went absolutely double plus awful stupid over that.
I remember. I remember.
But now we got us some ISIS.
Oh, goody.
And we could be scared of them. Because it, you get, I mean, and again, I suspect you have the same problem that I do, Jeff, trying to get inside the right-wing birther, deather, ninther, tenther, bagger, booger-eater mentality. I mean, nowhere is safe, okay? I mean, your local Walmart there in Busted Knuckle, it could be a heap of smoke and rubble right in the middle of Action Alley tomorrow because somewhere ISIS is a-wanting to destroy it.
You know, they're coming over the border. At least that's what...
Well, absolutely. The dry part saying. Of the Rio Grande.
Mm-hmm. They're crossing right in. Heard that from family members.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, at least once you get past the New Year's Day corned beef and cabbage thing, you're in the clear for another year.
Oh, it just makes me want to drink.
Oh, I mean, hell, that's the good part.
It's true. That's very true. It, you know, to get... I think to get inside these people's heads, you have to be... I mean, you have to think everything is... I mean, everything's out to get you. I mean, the government's out to get you. Obama's going to come and take your guns. The UN is bad. They're going to come after you, too, and force you into the Hobbit homes. And they're going to get rid of your golf courses. Bernie Sanders apparently going to get rid of your golf courses.
Yeah, according to T. Rump, Bernie Sanders is after all your golfs.
Yeah, it's going to take away golf. Golf, gone. It's going to be gone forever. Don't you understand, Bob? Golf, it's gone. Bernie Sanders.
And full disclosure, I used to be a terrible golfer and loved to go out and golf terribly.
I'm still a terrible golfer.
Well, I am too. I just don't get to golf terribly anymore. But I love it. I mean, that first ice cold beer as soon as you finish doing the upper level mathematics that are required to come up with your 7-digit score at the end of the 18th hole, that first cold beer was magic.
Bring a calculator. That's what I do.
See, the last time I played golf, we didn't even have smartphones.
Oh, wow. It's been a while then. It's been a while.
Yeah, I had to take an abacus with me back in the day.
I would imagine. If it's anything like my score. My swing, I know, tangent, right? My swing, golf balls that I hit are attracted to water.
Oh, mine have homing devices in them.
No, good. Yeah.
And they generally follow a parabolic arc right into the center of the water hazard.
Sploosh.
Yeah.
Floop. The most heard sound during my golf game. Yeah. But nonetheless, man, if Bernie Sanders, he'll get rid of our ability to, you know, hit golf balls into the water. We can't have that.
He'll go broke because he won't be able to ruin any more public any more nice spaces with his golf courses. You know, of course, that Mark Twain referred to golf as a nice walk ruined.
I was unaware of that. I'm so uncultured here in the North.
Oh, here, just so folks can know what I'm talking about. I've actually got, and I think you'll hear it. I've got T. Rump's golf quote here, and. Well, why not close out the program with it? This is fun.
Then you have love
the
it.
Economy and the jobs that are being lost, and people aren't paying taxes, and all of this stuff, right? And all of a sudden, people are coming up, and I'd say the wall, and now they're starting to say the wall. We have to be progressive in our thinking. When I say progressive, I mean like smart. I'm not talking progressive like a Bernie Sanders would say. This guy wants to tax you. Think of it. This guy wants to raise your taxes to 90%. No, think you'll have to move out of this. I love this area, by the way. I've been here many times. Great golfing area, right? We love it. No more golf, if Bernie said no more golf. No, you won't have any golf anymore. You won't have any money left to beat golf. You'll be paying it in taxes. This guy is a total disaster.
So, got that? Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is going to tax you, Jeff, at
90%. 90%. My God, there would be nothing left. I couldn't go golfing tomorrow.
I couldn't putt-putt for that.
No. You can't even pick up a thing of balls. What are you going to do? Better vote for Trump. Better vote for Trump, Bob. It's amazing. No, Bernie Sanders will not be raising your taxes to 90%. That's ridiculous.
No.
Did you know?
And there's not a piece of data out there that even says that. This is just stuff that's beamed into those strange fiber optic fibers that are dyed orange on top of his head.
It's literally pants on fire. Literally. I mean, you could see the smoke coming from his pants as he was saying that. It was so bad. And these people, this is amazing. Did you hear the crowd?
You mean the mooing?
Yeah, they're eating it up. They love it. They're like, yes, Bernie Sanders is going to tax me 90%. That's terrible. I'm not gonna vote for that. I'm gonna vote for T-Rump.
Because Merca.
America. It's amazing because have you looked at Trump's tax plan, Bob?
No, because I am fresh out of antiemetics and LSD.
Well, you would have to take some of those to make any sense, heads or tails of it. I mean, his plan, part of it would save him and his family $2 billion in taxes. $2 billion. So he's worried, I think. Yeah, I think he's worried that he's going to get taxed at 90%, even though, once again, there's no shred of evidence.
No, but see, where this comes from, Jeff, is that he has referred to the fact that the highest marginal tax rate was 90% in this country once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
I think under a Republican president by the name of Eisenhower.
I wonder how America did. I'm surprised we survived through that, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I hear we did pretty well, and so did rich people. That's odd. So that would mean that the conservative economics is wrong. But that's weird.
But that top marginal tax rate didn't apply to anybody who was sitting in that crowd unless Chuck and Dave were sitting there, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck and Dave, you know, the Koch boys.
Oh yeah,
those well-meaning madcap saney multi-billionaires who just love America so much.
Well, they love America so much that they want to buy it for themselves. They want to own it.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a line like that in Henry V, where Henry V says to his future bride Catherine, he says, "I love France so much that I would not part with one acre of it." It's that kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trump's a narcissist, so.
And we can't expect Trump to be knowing any Shakespeare either.
No, that's for sure. He really does. I mean, I don't know if you're convinced, Bob, but I think he does want it simply because it's something that he can have.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to okay with that. I think he would like the chance to bully the entire world because he's the ultimate bully, and he's run out of things and people to bully.
He's also run out of things and people to own. I mean, this guy reportedly has got $10 billion, right?
Which he doesn't. Listen, it's probably more like $3-2.
Yeah, but he said, I got $10 billion. I got $10 billion. Okay, whatever. You've got a lot of money. Great.
God forbid anybody ever tells him about Marcus Licinius Crassus, because back in the, even to this day, and we're talking about more than 2,000 years of history, Marcus Licinius Crassus was probably the richest man the world has ever known. Marcus Licinius Crassus could have bought Donald Trump for what he's worth and sold him for what he thought he's worth and not have made a major impact on his wealth, okay? God forbid anybody ever tells Trump about Crassus because, the megalomania might go right off. Well, the meter would peg and the glass would break. Of the yearning and the avarice and the greed and the desire and the but the fun part, you know what I'd love to do? I would love to actually sit down and tell the story of Marcus Licinius Crassus to Trump, because I would get to tell him about how Marcus Licinius Crassus met his end.
wouldn't Trump's eyes glaze over at a certain point?
No, because the best part of the story is when he meets the Parthians, and the Parthians tell him they are going to give him all the gold he wants.
Oh.
Now, I mean, that if you were Trump, wouldn't that grab you?
Yeah.
So then they strapped down Marcus Licinius Crassus and started pouring liquid molten gold down his throat.
Wow.
I would love to see T-Rump's face. Because Crassus was a little bit like Trump. Do you know who Crassus was, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, no.
Okay, so the triumvirate of the mid-first century BCE was comprised of Pompey the Great, Julius Caesar, and Marcus Crassus.
Mm-hmm.
And Crassus was in there because of his money. And
like Trump.
And he was the richest man in the world. And being rich let you be, in the ancient Roman world, being rich let you go be a general sometimes. For instance, it was Crassus who put down the Spartacus revolt and put up crucifixions every, like, 500 feet all the way from Naples to Rome on the Appian Way. And we get upset about one every year, once a year. But he really wasn't much of a general. But he was given a command and was allowed to go run off into the desert to take on the Parthians, and they just whipped his ass. And in a way, it's that same kind of megalomania that we see in Trump. Yeah, he thinks he's a tactician. He thinks he's a strategist. He's a boob with a bank account.
But I thought he said he's the most militaristic man in history.
Well, I mean, Crassus was militaristic too, and it got him a mouthful of molten gold.
Exactly.
And I ain't talking about liquid gold like you use on the furniture.
Or any other kind of thing that's golden, but let's not go there.
Yeah, let's don't.
I'll avoid that. He is that sort of narcissist, and I think that he does want it because he's run out of things to own. He's run out of challenges and things that his fortune hasn't been able to buy, however big it is. And that's sort of my theory on this.
I think you're right. Jeff, it's been a delightful conversation. Feel free to chime in anytime.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you.
Bye now. And to each and every one of all of us, the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, Happy New Year. And be safe New Year's Eve. Remember, that's amateur night. And there's going to be a lot of idiots out. If you can avoid being on the road, I suggest doing so. And I have to send out tremendous thanks for getting us over the hump, for meeting both Jason's and Robert's challenges. Profound thanks. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Frank. Thank you to Graham and to Henry and to Glenn. Thank you all so very kindly. We may actually be out of the hole now. Note came in from Harold saying, greetings, $1 for each day of each weekly broadcast of 2015, i.e. 1 times 5 times 52 equals 260. Happy New Year. Love, Harold, in Iosirian. I take that's Ioegia Stan. Thank you, Harold. Thank you very kindly. And thank you, one and all, for keeping this little broadcast operation going. These will be the final words for 2015. Please join me 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday night, January 1st, as I fill in for Mike Malloy. That'll be a lot of fun. It always is. Again, be safe, be happy. Wish the old year, which we mark arbitrarily the end of right now, wish it a peaceful goodbye and look forward, hopefully, to the future. And know that you have the abiding thanks of me and everyone else in the community, that each and every one of you make up and support this community. Thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Happy New Year, y'all. Thanks.